Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost. Work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the happy child. We've been discussing loving your children. Loving your children means disciplining your children. And disciplining your children, I am convinced, means having happy children. The most miserable, unhappy, insecure children are the children who do not get any discipline at all, who don't know where the lines are drawn, who have no sense of security because the walls are all movable, the fences are always movable. But you want your children to be happy, don't you? There isn't a parent in the world who doesn't want his child to be happy. You want your child to grow up in a peaceful home, and you want to learn to love your children. Discipline is an essential element for both peace and love. The happiest child is the one who knows he's loved. He lives in a peaceful environment. He understands where the lines are drawn. Security depends on boundaries, doesn't it? We think of all kinds of measures for security nowadays. Fences and locks and gates and lights and guards and television screens. But there is no security if there are no boundaries. I've been getting letters occasionally. I wouldn't say many, but now and then I get a letter from someone saying, "Don't trespass on ground that you're not an expert in. Why don't you just stick to the Bible?" Well, I'm certainly doing my best to stick to the Bible. I don't just dish out scripture verses for the entire 15 minutes of the program, but I do try to make them practical in applications which seem to me to make sense, and I suppose that my effort to do that occasionally would indicate that I'm trespassing on ground that I'm not an expert in. And again, I would disclaim any expertise in child rearing, but I do want to help you if I possibly can. And I do want to pass on valuable things that I've learned from much wiser people than myself. I'm an observer. I'm also a mother of only one. I'm a grandmother, and I'm the daughter of a woman who reared six children and taught me a good many things that she had learned through the 37 years when she was raising children. I also read fairly recently a wonderful book written back in 1833. It's by John S.C. Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, and it's called The Mother at Home. John S.C. Abbott, The Mother at Home. And this Mr. Abbott, he was apparently the Reverend John S.C. Abbott, back in the 1800s, had some wonderful things to say under this title, The Mother at Home. For example, he said, "Show your sympathy and interest. Make sure that you gratify reasonable wishes." A mother needs to always show that she is sympathetic with her child. She's not over against him. Sometimes when my husband and I have a disagreement about something, I have to say to him, "But darling, you know, I'm really on your side. We might disagree about this particular issue, but I'm not against you. I'm on your side. Give me the benefit of the doubt." Let me remind you, parents, to give your child the benefit of the doubt, too. Show him that you're really on his side. You really are interested in what he's doing. And gratify reasonable wishes. One time I was visiting in a home where The little boy was playing with some bread dough that his mother had given him. He was sitting happily on the floor, just having a wonderful time. The adults were having a very quiet adult conversation nearby, and the little boy was so happily occupied that he never once interrupted us. But suddenly the father looked at his watch, realized that it was bedtime, and leaped up and grabbed the little boy and took the dough out of his fingers and started to carry him off to bed, whereupon the little boy just screamed and cried, and it just about broke my heart because I thought, couldn't we sort of make bedtime a little bit less abrupt and impetuous? Couldn't the father have given him a little warning and said, Jimmy, in about 5 more minutes, it's going to be bedtime. So what are you making right now? Oh, a doggy? Well, maybe we can finish up that doggy before it's time for bed, okay? And then maybe he could have helped him with that. It was perfectly reasonable for that tiny little boy to want to play with the bread dough, and I sympathized with all my heart with his wails at being forcibly grabbed up and having the bread dough ripped out of his hand, and he was carried out of the room, just screaming and crying. Gratify reasonable wishes. Give your children warning if you're going to ask them to stop something that they're enjoying. Avoid collisions. It's very easy to have collisions in a household, isn't it? Between not only the children, but between the parents and the children, and even between the husband and the wife. One way of avoiding collisions between yourself and your child is to look for a way to head it off. Don't give the child an opportunity to summon all his energies to disobey. A little foresight, a little calm, will quell the rising cantankerousness of the child. Think ahead. At the end of a long day, for example, Jeremy suddenly socks Jennifer right in the face. Jennifer screams and wails, Jeremy, say you're sorry. And of course, Jeremy pays no attention to Jennifer. And so the mother says, Jeremy, say you're sorry and ask Jennifer to forgive you. Now, this is not always the wisest way to go about it, because the mother knows that this may be the hardest thing in the world for Jeremy to do at that low point in the day. If it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody's tired, supper isn't ready yet, maybe the mother is asking too much to say, ask Jennifer to forgive you. Instead, she might take him by the hand and say, Jeremy, I think you're getting a little hard to get along with, so it's time to go where you won't have to get along with anybody for a while. So she takes him into his room, and he's to stay there, and it gives him time to think over his behavior. If he has to stay in his room and can hear his brothers and sisters having fun, then he becomes unhappy at not being able to be there. The solitude and the quietness will soothe his anger against them. Then maybe at supper time, or perhaps next morning, whichever seems best, or depending on when the fight took place, Mother takes Jeremy's hand and Jennifer's. She brings them together. You made your poor sister cry, didn't you, Jeremy? That made everybody pretty unhappy. Did you know that? Did it make you happy to see her cry? No. Did it make Jennifer happy when she cried? And of course, Jeremy says no. Then the mother says, are you sorry about it? Yes. Will you ask her to forgive you? And at that point, probably he will. He's had time to think about it. He's had time for his own anger to cool. That's one way of avoiding collisions. Another thing is to give each child something to do. If you're trying to get a job done and your children keep interrupting, think of something that each of them would enjoy doing. Then you can go back to your work, look up every once in a while and let them know that you're watching, that you're enjoying what they're doing, comment on the pictures, ask who's finished the puzzle or won the game. I had a most heartrending letter from a grandmother just the other day. Her daughter had died in childbirth, and the grandmother had the little 3-year-old sitting on her kitchen floor. And the three-year-old, who didn't remember her mother at all, but had heard about her, looked up and said to the grandmother, "Maybe God will send Mommy back to this kitchen so she can watch me crayon." Of course, that tore the grandmother's heart. But it's an illustration of how important it is to children that their mothers and fathers watch what they're doing. Let them know that you're sympathetic and interested. I was talking to a young man the other day who visits often in a home where he says the mother never speaks to the children except to yell at them. No sympathy, no interest. Before they get tired of each other and start to fight, tell them to put the things away and suggest the next thing. "But, Mom, I've almost finished my house. Can't I finish?" A kind and sympathetic mother will say, "Yes, but tell me as soon as you've finished, and then you can put them away." In other words, the principle is gratify a child in his reasonable wishes, but not if it's something in which he's disobeying.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.